You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, it's Storytelling from the Moth. Tonight, Adada realizes how naive she's been when she learns the truth about her mother's pregnancy. A successful businessman reveals his childhood dream, and a hitchhiker is picked up by an infamous driver. That's coming up tonight on The Moth.
First, day-to-day life is pretty much saturated with social media. We post pictures and thoughts and updates on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, usually with an eye to personal branding, whether we're thinking consciously about it or not.
But all that trying to look effortlessly happy and effortlessly successful is leading, in some cases, to identity fatigue. Identity fatigue is the concept that trying to brand ourselves and our lives is wearing us out. Our next guest says another word that can get lost in the shuffle is authenticity.
Dani Shapiro recently wrote about identity and authenticity in the online world on her blog at DaniShapiro.com. And she's the author of the memoir Still Writing, Devotion and Slow Motion, and five novels, including Black and White and Family History. Her new memoir, forthcoming, is called Hourglass. It will be out in April. Dani, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, how would you define this concept of identity fatigue?
Well, you know, when I first saw the phrase, it's two such unlikely words, right? You know, kind of coming together, identity and fatigue. And I just found myself thinking, wow, this is something that I and so many people that I know contend with from pretty much the minute that we wake up in the morning until the minute we go to sleep at night. And because I'm a novelist and a memoirist, and I spend most of my days in solitude and trying to be as quiet as I possibly can, I think it becomes even more of something that is really starkly noticeable. I mean, the whole idea, I remember a number of years ago just thinking, I will never use the word brand in a sentence as a verb. You know, it's like, and I will never use the word platform unless it's attached to a high-heeled shoe. And there's the whole idea of branding and platform for creative artists, but really for all of us. I mean, I think probably creative artists are among the last to be willing to embrace it in some way. But the world's just gotten very, very noisy. And I mean, one of the things I think I wrote about in my blog was the idea that, like, before I've even had my first sip of coffee in the morning, if I've checked Instagram, which I try not to do, but I fail not to do a lot of the time, I end up seeing all of these people who are, you know, riding horses, and they're surfing, and they're visiting amazing places, and it can seem like everyone out there is leading a perfect life, or that expression that I think probably originated in 12-step programs, which is like, don't compare your insides with other people's outsides, but all we're doing is seeing people's outsides on social media.
The word authentic comes up a lot, you know, trying to become authentic, something that, you know, is it something that you create rather than something that you are when it comes to social media? Do we really know what authenticity is today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think authenticity, like vulnerability, can be a much overused word, and people can play at being authentic, you know, or play at being vulnerable. And, you know, I just know for myself that I probably would not even have ever ended up on social media in a big way unless my husband, who just kind of, you know, was an early, you know, adopter of these things, like Twitter, for example, maybe 5 years ago, he said to me, you really should be on Twitter. I think I spent 2 years lurking on Twitter before I posted one single word, because I'm a writer. It felt like it had to be a perfect haiku. The idea of putting words out there that were not considered, you know, made me practically break out in hives. But slowly, I started finding my way in terms of things that actually mattered to me. You know, tweeting really only things that mattered to me. I would, you know, read a beautiful sentence and think, I want to share this, or something would strike me as funny and I would share it. And little by little, it started to feel like, well, actually, this Twitter feed is representative of me. I mean, do I put everything on Twitter? Do I put, I had a fight with my husband this morning, or, you know, my kid got a bad grade in school? No. But what I do is try to be true to who I am. And it's kind of the same thing on Instagram. I mean, we all put up these burnished images, because why not? But we, I think the awareness of that we're showing one, the awareness, really the consciousness that we're showing one aspect of our lives, that we're saying, you know, hey guys, this is the cool stuff, you know. So I think it has to do with that kind of consciousness about it, with being really aware of not trying to create a false self, you know, a false persona on social media.
But sometimes, you know, when people do share things that have been failures or share their insecurities or difficult things, sometimes that's awkward on social media too, because it is sort of inherently this kind of superficial medium. You can't really give a hug on it or share in-depth feelings on it. So how do you think we should deal with that stuff?
Well, actually, I wrote an essay about this a few years ago that was in on the New Yorker's blog that was precisely about this. I was at the gym one day, and I was checking my phone just right after I worked out, and somebody that I knew had posted that she was sitting with her mother at the side of her mother's hospital bed as her mother's light was going out, as she put it, like as she was literally dying. Her mother was dying. And I thought to myself, wow, like what I really thought about is I thought back to when I wrote my first memoir and there was no social media. And, you know, when my parents were in a terrible car accident, which is what my first memoir is about, I was in California, and I had to fly back to New York, and it was a blizzard, so it took me a while to get home. And I just found myself thinking, if Facebook had existed when this happened to my family, I would have uploaded Boingo Wi-Fi on the plane, and I would have sat there, and I would have posted about it, because that's in our world today, that's what people do. And I would have received hundreds and hundreds of emojis and likes and I'm praying for you and I'm thinking of you and I'm so sorry. And I probably never would have written a memoir, because it was what was under pressure of kind of concealment for all of those years, this sense of needing to express something that 10 years later, you know, a book came out of that. And it just really struck me as this medium in which we are living out loud in so many ways. I've had people I know announce their divorces in a way on Facebook by just changing their status. Mm. I'm talking about grown people with children. I'm not talking about teenagers. And obviously something is getting tremendously lost. And the question is, are we going to be able to harness this horse we're all on and find some way to retain our humanity within it?
We're talking to novelist and memoirist Dani Shapiro. She recently wrote about identity and authenticity on her blog. She says it can be tough to know what's real about the way we portray ourselves when it comes to our lives on social media.
And we'd love to hear from you on this. Do you ever get worn down trying to look effortlessly cute and successful on social media? Do you get tired of working on your personal branding and looking at other people's personal branding? And how do you deal with creating the identity of you online? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.